You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9. We're going to continue to take a break from 1 Kings. I've entitled our message, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we're going to just look at this one verse in 2 Chronicles 16, 9. We are going to look at various scriptures. Why? There's going to be many, many scriptures that I use because this is so important. Now, I want to line my heart up with scripture. I hope that that's what you want to do as well. Listen, we need to have our hearts lined up with Scripture, because to line up our hearts with anything else is to line up our hearts amiss. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, we're going to see why we should have our hearts lined with Scripture. Now, before we do that, I'm reminded of what Paul said, and I want my heart to be like Paul's. Paul's heart was lined up with Scripture. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. Now, you're going to want to jot these down because I'm going to hit on them quick. But keep your hand on 2 Chronicles 16, 9. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, it says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And that is so important. It is so important that we grab our wisdom, that we grab our power, that we grab our understanding, not from what the world says, or even what some Christians in the church will say. If it strays from God's word, then you're following something that's going to lead nowhere. We must line our hearts up with Scripture. So let me pray one more time. Father, give us wisdom. May we hear these words. May we be encouraged and challenged. In Jesus' name, amen. So, great is thy faithfulness. And we know the Lord is faithful, but how faithful? Right? Isn't that the question we should be asking? How faithful is God? Well, I'm glad you asked, because he's going to tell us. So, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Now, listen, I can tell you, my heart can be loyal to a lot of things. But God is looking for those whose heart is loyal to him. And so we tonight have to examine our heart and see, who are we following? What are we following? And is our heart loyal to him? Are we more loyal to other things? Now, every once in a while, your pastor needs to get all up in your faith. Tonight, I'm going to get up all in your faith. That's what I'm going to do. But hopefully, I do it without complicating the matter. I don't want to complicate your faith. Why? Here's why. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted," here you go, "and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on a second. I thought all that we had to do was be converted. And he says, no, no, no. You need to be converted and become like little children. Well, wait, wait, I don't understand. How do I become a child? It's kind of like Nicodemus when he said, well, wait, Jesus, how do I become born again? You know, I can't regress. I can't return into my mother's womb. Well, how do I become like a little child? I'm an old guy. You know, maybe some of you are a little closer. But what he's talking about is this. Children aren't complicated. Listen, children aren't political. Children just want to be joy. They want joy. They want happiness. They just want to be loved. Children just simply trust. They do. They trust mommy and daddy's going to take care of everything. And what God wants is he wants our faith to be where we go, God, I don't know what it looks like. I just want to have your joy and I just want to trust that you've got this covered because you're my daddy. The song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but there's a line from the song and it says this, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning in Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And so here in our scripture, God is saying, you know what? I want to show you how mighty and strong I am on your behalf if your heart is loyal to him. Now we know. We know. Don't you know that God is faithful? Or at least we should know. We should know that God is faithful, right? What determines, or how can I determine, how can you determine? How can you determine whether I trust God's faithfulness? Well, you can look at my actions and my choices. And based on my actions and choices, you can go, Pastor Randy, he doesn't have much faith. Or you can say, you know what? Pastor Randy trusts God. And God says, good, you trust me. Now, we know he's faithful. But what would he say about our faithfulness? You see, that's the key. God is always faithful, always. But what does he say about us? Are we faithful back in response to his faithfulness? Look at 2 Chronicles 16:9 again. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. What this tells me, and what this should tell you, is that God is a relentless pursuer of our affections. Do you realize that? Should he have to do that? He's God. But he's relentlessly pursuing our affections towards him. Remember, God so loved the world, right? He did that before, when we were all yet sinners, before we even knew him. While we were his enemies, he loved us. And now that we love him, what is our response? Is it faithfulness? Are we fickle? We're faithful for a moment, and then we become fickle. What we need to realize is that Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven, gave up the comfort of heaven to come down to earth, and then even in his earthly body, he gave us his all. And then some. Right? Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus gave his all for you?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. So knowing this, knowing his love, knowing his sacrifice, well, then that gives us a clue what God is searching for. What is God searching for? He's searching to and fro throughout the whole earth for a reasonable response. You see, God gave his son. Now he's going, okay, so how are you going to respond to his sacrifice for you? Oh, gee, thanks. See you later. Right? Or do we respond to his love and sacrifice with a reasonable response? Here you go. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Listen to this. I beg you, therefore, brethren. by the mercy of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. So Jesus Christ gave his body for the death, for burial. But then, of course, he's alive now. But he took our death so that we can be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? In conjunction or in response to what Christ has done for us, we respond in what we do for Christ. Why we do, how we do. Why is it reasonable? I don't know. You just said. You said Jesus Christ gave his all. So why is our response to become a living sacrifice a reasonable response? When we reason all that God has done, our response should be gratitude on an epic scale. Because he didn't have to. He doesn't need us. He loves us. He doesn't count on us. We count on him. But so often we get so wrapped up in the me time that we forget about him. But do you realize, according to this verse, God is right now, even as we sit here, he is searching to and fro throughout the whole earth. Guess what? Even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but Mojave Bullhead is part of the earth. Sometimes it feels like we're on the sun, I know. But he's searching the whole earth, even Mojave Valley. And so we should be going, okay, God, if you're searching the whole earth, and I'm on the earth, and I should have a reasonable response to the love you've already shown me, we should be asking them, what is his purpose, God? What is your goal in this searching to and fro? Well, I'm glad you ask. He tells us. He tells us in the verse. He says he's searching to and fro to do what? To show himself strong on our behalf. Now, that concept, how strong is God? I have no idea how strong God is. People often say, well, if God can do anything, can he make a rock that's so heavy he can't pick it up? The answer is no. He cannot. There are limitations. God, you know, I've said this before. God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't love. He doesn't know a sin he doesn't hate. He doesn't know another way to heaven but through Jesus. And he doesn't know a better day than today for you to surrender your heart to him. So God put limitations on himself, but there is no limit to God. So he would have to say, you know what? I decide not to pick up that rock. That's how heavy it is. But think about this. If God is that strong, and he says he wants to show himself strong on our behalf, I thought of a good analogy. A little kid. Mom and dad bring groceries home. And little kid is real little, you know, but they can walk, and they try and pick up a 1 gallon milk. Right? And they're struggling to get in the house, and they can't make it. They're just like, oh, it's too heavy. And dad comes, and he's already got a gallon milk in one hand. And he picks the other one, and he walks in, he strolls in. Now, he's not trying to impress his child, because that's not strong. That takes nothing for a dad or a mom. But to that little kid, they're like, whoa, my dad's a superhero. I bet Hulk can't pick up a gallon of milk. Right? But listen, but if the dad wanted to impress the child to show him how strong, he'd go and bench press 300 pounds, not a 5 pound gallon of milk. Well, think about this. God can pick up our problems like a gallon of milk, but he's saying he wants to bench press our troubles, our worries, our doubts. He's saying, I want to show you how strong I am on your behalf if your heart is devoted to God. See, there's a prerequisite. There is a prerequisite. Listen. He says, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You see, everyone wants to see God's strength. Everyone wants to see God's power in their life. But the part we struggle with is what? Loyalty. Being loyal. I like the NLT says this. Those whose hearts are faithfully committed to him. Or how about the NASAV? The NAS. No, there's no V. Those whose heart is completely His. See, I love that. Fully committed, completely His, loyal to Him. You do that, it sums up faithfulness. When you're loyal to Him, faith is an element God uses to make you and I memorable. And you're like, what? No, do you realize that? Our faith is what God uses to make us memorable. Give you an example. All the patriarchs in the scripture, right? They had faith. God showed His power on their behalf. They became memorable. Give you an example. Moses. He was a regular old dude with a stick. But because he was faithful, he did incredible things. And everyone goes, whoa, look at Moses. He's got power. Elisha, he's another old dude, but he was faithful. Paul, little hairy eyebrow. He had a unibrow. The one, only description we have of Paul said he had a sharp nose. He had a unibrow. He walked a little bit hunched. He was a short dude. Yeah, that was Paul. Kind of look at him differently now, huh? But he was faithful. He raised the dead, gave sight to the blind. God did more than pick up a gallon of milk in his problem. He bench pressed in front of his child. Because they had faith. Listen, when you look at Moses, Elijah, and Paul, and some of the others, they had faith on ridiculous levels compared to worldly standards. They gave their all. They gave up all their creature comforts. They did everything they could to stay faithful to God. And God says, look at his heart. Look at them go. I'm going to show them how strong I will be on their behalf. Now, there are some modern men very much like this. George Mueller. If you've never read his autobiography, you should. Powerful. Billy Graham. Look at how many thousands of people he has led to the Lord. Maybe even in the millions. Chuck Smith, look at how many Calvary chapels have started. Even Greg Laurie is a product of Chuck Smith, but he stayed faithful. Great faith produces great, and guess what? All these men, memorable. We won't forget them. Why? Their faith makes them memorable. You want to be remembered? Display some faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. You got to read this verse if you're dealing with faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Watch this. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. You become memorable when you walk by faith. Listen, you can preach scripture. You can talk about this and that. You can talk about all your accomplishments. But you know what? In a day, people will forget if there was no display of faith. Faith speaks louder than you can blow your own horn. Have an element of faith and God will make you memorable. Faith is an element that God will bring good testimony to your life as well. You see, the elders obtained good testimony. What is a testimony? That's a story, a proclamation of what God has done in your life. Listen, I don't want to be memorable for me. I want to be memorable that I did something with my life for Him, for His good pleasure. And then when I go, we'll talk about that later. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Even in the spiritual realm. Acts 16, verse 16 and 17. It says this. We're going to get to it, by the way, on Sunday. Not this Sunday, but in a couple Sundays. Maybe next year. Literally. Okay. Now as it happened, as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." She did this for many days. Listen, even the spiritual realm, when you walk in faith, even the spiritual realm know who you are. You know, I remember reading that, and there was this district in downtown Houston where they had all these fortune tellers and they had this stuff. So one day I was like, I want to experience that. So I went and walked in front of the store over there waiting for someone to come out and say, "This guy serves the Lord, Most High God." The only thing I heard is, "Wow, look at the size of that guy's head." That's all. So I gave up. They're just like, "Is there a parade or is that a balloon? What is that?" "Oh, it's a guy." That's like, anyways. Okay, Acts 19. I'm sorry, I had to do. But it's true. Look, even in the spiritual realm, they were recognized as being men of God. Why? Because of their faith. Here's proof. Three chapters later, Acts 19, that was 16, 19, verse 11 through 15 says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even a handkerchief or apron were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left, and devil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, 'Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?' And then beat the living daylights out of them so badly that they ran out of the house naked because the demon had ripped their clothes off, beating them up." Why? They had no faith. They were just saying the words. They were like, "Hey, Jesus, I'm going to say Jesus. Paul said Jesus, and all these spirits, and everyone obey him." He had faith. He was living faith. That's the difference. Anybody can say Jesus. Anybody can memorize scripture. Anybody with half a brain can answer Bible trivia. But to have faith displayed where you trust God no matter what comes at you, God will show himself mighty on behalf of that person. You. If you choose not to waver when it looks like the world is going against you, when it looks like when you have big troubles, God wants to bench press that right out of your life. He wants to show himself powerful on your behalf. But you have to have faith in him, not faith in anything else. Faith equals faithfulness. Notice how the word faith is in faithfulness. It's key. You know what faith is? It's this: trust, loyalty. When you have faith, you have peace. And faith unleashes God's power. It's not my words. It's his words. And why does he do that? Because you've proven that your heart is focused on him. You know, my life verse, I tell you this all the time. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Notice it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Not a relationship, not a job, not healing, not doctors, not popularity, none of those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All else will be added to you. That's why he says, listen, I'm searching, I'm scouring. God says, I'm scouring. Looking for those whose hearts are faithful to me. Why? So I can show myself mighty on their behalf. I want to. He wants to. He wants to do that in your life, in my life, in our church. But there's a prerequisite to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And when we are loyal to him, we can say, God, great is thy faithfulness. Listen, faithfulness, by the way, isn't an experience. It's a journey. It's a process. I didn't get saved and have faith. Ta-da, I'm Randy Faithful. Listen, even now I fail. Even now I fail. There are times when my faith wavers and I lose sleep because I'm like freaking out, but I'm praying all night. Lord, I need your strength. I need to know what you're doing. I need you to talk to me. I need you to change my heart. Do whatever you need to do. You know, just recently I had a night of prayer. I did some other things to take my mind off of, but that only lasts a little while. You know, I play video games, and then I get off the video game, and my mind is going, what's going on? So I just was up most of the night praying. My prayer is this: God, this church is yours. If you need to remove me, just keep the church intact, because these are your people. Sacrifice me, but keep these people together, because they're yours. And the Lord said, just trust me. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. You see, we all want to hear this, don't we? Well done, thy good and faithful what? Servant. Faithful. What's that mean, faithful? You know what it means? Endurance. Wait. Endurance? Why do I need to endure? Because it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There are going to be times when you're going to want to throw in the towel. You're going to want to quit. But faithfulness, does faith, listen, if you say someone's faithful, do they quit? No, they're not faithful if they quit. That the faithful word just went out the window. Faithfulness means you endure. Endure what? Whatever. Ever. There's no. Notice he didn't give a list of things, because if he gave a list, we'd say, well, this isn't on the list. So I'm done. I'm out of there. No. Faithfulness means just to be faithful, period. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, just so you know it's not my words. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 10, 35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So don't give up on your confidence. Your confidence has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So notice, after you've done the will of God, you receive the promise. Not before. And what do you need in order to do the will of God? Endurance. Now watch this. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and faith equals endurance. But if anyone draws back, in other words, if anyone's not, doesn't endure, my soul has no pleasure in him. Yike, Aronis. Listen, if we are faithful and we endure, God says, that's my girl, that's my boy, that's my child. But when we draw back and stop being faithful, God says, I don't have any pleasure in that. I can't show myself strong on that. I can't work with that. I can't make that person memorable, because when they're memorable, people are going to remember what they did for me. Do you realize that? We remember Moses, what he did for God's people and God. Remember, you know, Billy Graham, what he did for God's people and God. See, by remembering them, we're remembering him, and he likes to do that in our lives. Those who stop being faithful is a horrible thing, isn't it? Think about this. If someone were to say, you know, yeah, we've been married 15 years, and you know, I was faithful for 10 of them. Now I'm sleeping around. You take pleasure in that? Spouse, would you take pleasure in that? Wait. I've been saved for 7 years, but you know, I served 6, and now I'm just kind of kicking back. That's the same thing. That's not faithfulness. Isn't Jesus the groom? And isn't the church the bride? Do you think the groom wants a bride who's unfaithful, but was at one time, or is sporadically? You know, there was a year I was faithful, and then I took a year off and was unfaithful. But then I came back and was faithful another year, and then I'm unfaithful. That's no marriage. There's no pleasure in that. Why would God have pleasure in that? That's what he's saying. He's saying, great when we are walking in faithfulness, because he is great in his faithfulness. Or how about 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. He says this. Do you not know? In other words, hey, you should know this. That those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not obtain a perishable crown. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore run thus, not with uncertainty. I thus fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body to bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. Folks, here's what he's saying. We're all to run for the prize. But the only ones who are going to receive the prize are those who endure, who get to the end of the race. Right? I shared with you the show I watched where they were going to run a marathon, and the one guy runs for a little way, goes around the corner, he picks a taxi, and he takes him and drops him off like a couple of blocks from the end, pours water on himself to make it look like he's been sweating. Is that a faithful? No, it's not in God's house either. Now, does it mean that he wasn't in the race? Sure, he was in the race. Did he make it to the finish line? Sure, he did. But if everyone knew what he did, no one's going to say, wow, good, well done, run the race. They're going to go, yeah, he got to the finish line, but he cheated. It's kind of the same thing. Faith and faithfulness take endurance. When I have endurance, when you have endurance, when we have endurance, it proves that we have faith in God, because we recognize no matter what comes at us, he has a plan and he is faithful. In this life, listen, there are heartaches and there are humblings. There are hardships and there are healings. There are tragedies and triumphs. There are problems and pleasure. There is faithless and faithful. And you and I get to decide which side of the line we are on all those. We can be humbled before God, and that's a good thing. We can have healing in our life, but that's going to come through the hardships. But we go through the hardships, we have to recognize that God has allowed the hardship in our life in order for us to recognize that he has the power to bench press our problems. We are going to have tragedies. But we can take a tragedy and bring it into a triumph when we take that tragedy and use it as an opportunity to say, look, I'm going through a hardship, but I will not lose my faith in God, because he is faithful. People are not. I am not. But he is. Problems can become pleasurable. How? When we give him all the glory when the problem's solved, and through it we say, I don't like what I'm going through, but God, you got a solution here. You always do. And we get to choose whether we're faithful or faithless. Do you realize faith is the thread that holds our robe of righteousness together? Faith is the thread that holds it together. Listen, when we don't have faith, the threads are, it's like having a hospital bathrobe on. Please don't turn around. God is so interested in the faith that we have. He is so interested. That's why I'm here getting all up in your faith. Because God is interested. God is interested that my faith shouldn't waver. And it does. I'll tell you. I'll be honest. My faith does waver a little here and there and at times and in seasons. But each time I can make it through, even if I'm kind of like sputtering, but I get through with some faith, the next time I'm a little stronger. Do you find yourself the same way? How about if we do this? How about if we make a resolution today, before New Year's, today to say, you know what, in every situation, I am going to look to God and say, great is thy faithfulness. And isn't it his faithfulness that is the most important? Isn't it the faithfulness that should matter? Listen, when a person's faithful, it turns being a servant into a glorious thing rather than turning a servant into a job. Listen, the things we do for the Lord are never a job. They're never burdensome. They are a joy, even in the difficult times, because we know the end is where we're going, the process. The process is to get to the end. The process is to produce a faithfulness in me and to bring pleasure to God, and then to see his power unleashed in my life and in your life and our life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, listen, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Do you see who you should commit the things to? To what kind of men?
Faithful.
What kind of women?
Faithful.
Why? Do you want to commit valuable things to unfaithful people? Would you? Your marriage. Would you want to commit when you married? Would you want to marry someone who's unfaithful? Yes. You know, I'm going to marry you even though I know you're going to cheat on me. Yay. I can't wait. I'm excited. No, of course not. Then why do we expect that from God? We want him to use us even though we're not faithful. Because we're too busy putting idols in front of us. We're too busy following people instead of God. We're too busy feeding our own flesh the desires of our heart rather than submitting to God's will. Listen, I say this to the leadership all the time. They're good ideas and they're God ideas. Listen, there are good things I could do, but they're going to take me away from the God things that I need to do. Good things, they work for a while, but then we grow weary of them, and it's like, it's a good thing. But God things work eternally. And what happens is when I grab hold of a God idea, a God thing, it gets inside me and it takes over. It's what I live for. It's what I eat and breathe. Why? Because it's a God thing. It's real. It's tangible. It's for him. It's not for any other reason. God ideas have to be a calling. They have to be a calling. It's like this church. People come. People go, unfortunately. Heartbreaking for us who stay. Because we love everyone. But the thing is if you come to this church, you got to say, don't come in. You know, I like the children's thing. Hey, I like the worship, which are all great. Hey, pastor, you know, he teaches okay. You know, I like that. Or people are loving. Those are great things. But it's got to be God. It's got to be the call of God. Because if you're coming here for any other reason, pretty soon those things are going to grow stale. And you go, oh, same old children's church. Same old lame jokes. He's got a big head. Yay. You're gonna go, okay. And then, listen, you have to. I tell people when they come and visit, hey, well, we're thinking about this church. Let God lead you. Go where God wants you. But once God puts you in a place, you have to be faithful. You have to stay. You have to stand. You have to endure. Endure what? I don't know. Whatever the enemy throws at you. Or don't. But if we don't, then not only are we limiting his calling, but we're limiting his strength in my life, in your life, in our church. We limit the call. Do you realize the calling of Moses, the calling of Paul, the calling of Elijah, that same and even more powerful call is for your life and your life and my life? What's the difference? How much are we willing to surrender? How much of our life we want to hold on to, and how much, the more I give to God, he says, I will be a debtor to no one. Randy, you're going to give me your life? Well, watch this. Bang. Like, whoa, you are power. Bench press my whole life. God is not going to be a debtor to me. The more I give to him, the more he blesses me. Now, I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about my heart. Now, of course, you can do that too, but that's not the purpose. God doesn't need our money. He wants our heart. Keep your money. Give him your heart. That's way better. That's way, way better. But when you give him your heart, be faithful. Be faithful. Listen, what do you think the enemy? You think the enemy doesn't know Scripture? The enemy knows, okay, God is looking right now for those whose hearts are loyal to them. Well, I got a remedy for that. I'll push all their buttons. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober. Yay. Vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, watch this, seeking whom he may devour. Watch this. Resist him, how? Steadfast in faith. That means to endure. Don't waver in your endurance. Knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Listen, when I fall under attack, or you fall under attack, for one moment, do we think we're the only ones who have ever fallen under that attack? Nobody else who's ever lived has gone through. Listen, Ecclesiastes is right. There's nothing new under the sun. What's that? What? Oh, yeah. No. When it's happening to you, it feels real. It feels like this is the worst thing because it's all you've ever known. But I guarantee you, whatever I've been through, whatever you've been through, it's happened a million times before over the generations. Some have been steadfast and some fall by the roadside. Watch this. Isaiah 26:3. I love this. Listen to this. You, meaning God, not us, you will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he or she trusts in you. How do I have perfect peace? Because my wife can tell you, I don't always. Sometimes my peace is like, feels like it's going through a saw. I have peace, I don't have peace. I have peace, I don't have peace. But I keep my mind, I keep going back to God. I keep, hun, come and pray with me. I'll read scripture. I'll open up and read something real quick. Take a nugget, you know, eat a little bit of spiritual nutrients, and I'll pray, and I'll talk to God constantly, and I'm like, God, you've got this. You've got a plan. I don't have to understand, but first I have to search my heart to see if what I'm experiencing is caused by me and my own sin. And I ask around, do you see that? Hey, Gilbert, you see that? Hey, Brent, you see that? Hey, Des, do you see this? Am I in this? No, okay, God, I'm not hearing from. Good, I'll move forward. I trust you, Lord. I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. And the enemy is attacking, but I trust you. I trust you. Do you? Can you say today, great is thy faithfulness? No matter what is happening in your life, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Do they know there's a restroom over there? Are you coming for the study? Okay. Sorry. You could have played tic-tac-toe or something. Or toe-tac-tic. I'm dyslexic. It's easy for me. How about Psalm 119, verse 30? I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. What rules? Man's rules? My family rules. Our family has a guideline of rules. No, not those. My friends' rules. No, not those. I set God's rules before me. And you know what? I choose the way of faithfulness. I set God's word before me, and as long as I don't waver from that, I don't have to worry about the storm and the battles. Or how about Galatians 5:22? But the fruit of the Spirit, singular fruit, not fruits, even though there's a list. Only the Holy Spirit can bring a list and it be a fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Here you go. Long suffering, that's endurance. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here you go. Self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They have stayed faithful to the Lord. Now, here's something. I'm just doing this study. We all can sing. We can sing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We can right now, tonight, say, God, great is thy faithfulness. But do you realize he wants to say that back to us? What? Yeah. Remember, he wants to say, well done, thy good and what? Faithful. So we go to heaven and go, oh, God, great is thy faithfulness. He goes, that's what. And you know what? Great is your faithfulness. You were faithful. Well done, my good and faithful. Enter in. He wants us to say it to each other. Isn't that kind of interesting? I never noticed that until tonight. It's like, we say he's faithful, he says, I want you to be faithful. Right? Doesn't God say, be ye holy as I am holy? Isn't God long-suffering towards us? I know he is with me. Sometimes I wonder, God, you sure you don't want to give up on me? He's like, no, not today. We'll see you tomorrow. No, he's faithful. And he wants us to be faithful back. And here's the point. Let's read that verse again from Chronicles here, okay? Hang on, let me back up. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Let's read it together. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Right now, right tonight, brothers and sisters, tonight, God is searching all our hearts. He's saying, is he faithful to me? Is she faithful to me? Is he? And then if you are, look out. Because God wants to do something amazing. He wants to dazzle you. He wants to carry both of the gallons of milk for you. And then he wants to bench press 300 pounds. He's a good, good father. He doesn't want you struggling with the milk of your life, with the milk of the word. He wants you to get it and let it nourish your body, just like a father wants for his child. That's why he bought the milk in the first place. He don't want you to struggle with it. God didn't want you to struggle in this life. He wants you to trust him that he will carry you through. Do you understand? It's so hard to put our faith in him. But if you understand how powerful he is, and how powerful is God? A little bit? Incredible? Insurmountable? Amazing? All of that's at your disposal. All you have to do is be faithful to the one who died for you in order to say, God, I'm grateful for what you did. Be faithful for what he did. And he says, wonderful. Watch this. And then he flexes. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray. God, would you please forgive me for the times when I waver in my faith, for the times that I forget your promises, for the time that I allow the enemy's attacks to get my mind off of the truth of your word. Father, forgive me for the times when I am slothful to give my life and my time and my effort to you, Lord. But yet, Lord, thank you that you are long-suffering. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight that each one of us would assess our life, our love for you, and the way we display our love for you. Is it only mouth? Is it occasional thought? Or is it with every breath? And have we planted our feet to be immovable and faithful to the call that you have placed in each one of our lives? Lord, it's up to each one of us as individuals. Lord, you see, speak to me tonight. Speak to them tonight, each one of them. Show them where you see their weakness, where you want to be strong for them. Show them where they need to repent and get right with you so that you then would not hesitate to show yourself strong on their behalf. Whether if it's an angry tongue or a haughty look or ears that are taking in the wrong things or eyes that are looking at the wrong things or a heart that is holding bitterness and unforgiveness or a selfish desire. Father, God, this life is so short. We have just a little time, Lord, to love others and to show them your love. And to show you that we trust in your faithfulness, and therefore we can be trusted to be faithful also. God, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Lord Jesus, we adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing one song.